It's the Who's On First Baseball Show with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson.
The fellow's name on first base.
Who?
The guy on first base.
Who is on first?
Talking all things baseball on the Coach's Corner Sports Network.
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base.
And here we are, the coach and the baseball fanatic. And what's up, baseball fans, for October 16th, 2023? We're in the ALCS and we're in the NLCS. Not what I really wanted, but, you know, things happen. So you got to play ball. And it's been a lot of fun doing this show for the past 15 episodes now. We're into episode 15. So you're listening to the Who's on First Base baseball episode, season 6, episode 15. On the Coach's Corner Sports Network. And the Coach's Corner Sports Network, like I say every week, has four shows, three live videos, and of course, one podcast. And that's right here. Who's on First Base? The Baseball Podcast with the Coach and the Baseball Fanatic. Don't forget, Wednesday nights, Rubbin' and Grubbin', 6 to 7, all things NASCAR with Brandon Bain, and of course, the OG of the Sports Network, Lawrence Bennett. And then, of course, yours truly every Saturday morning from 9 to about 10:30 with the Carl DeMasi Sports Report, all things sports in the Savannah area. Then we have once a year, first week of April, we got the 19th hole with the Herb Brothers. Check it out on YouTube. Five straight days. You're going to laugh the whole time through. And then, of course, one podcast. It's the coach and the man that has the plethora of knowledge. He's a walking baseball almanac, statistician, you name it. He eats, sleeps, and just chews up statistics for dessert. Joining me now on the Coach's Corner hot seat, the man himself, the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson. Hey, buddy, how's your week been going?
Oh, not too bad, Coach. Good weekend, and man, ready to get at it. It is the championship series week, and we've got two incredible series, one game already underway and one that will get started a little bit after our show tonight, ready to break it all down for you. And man, we've got a lot to talk about with these divisional series. A week ago, did you think we'd be here?
No, I didn't think we'd be here at all. But you know, what's really sad is that none of our teams are here, but we're baseball fanatics. I mean, I'll watch, if the Kansas City Royals are playing the Oakland Athletics. So, I mean, you put it on TV, I'm going to watch it. You know, during COVID-19, I watched the Korean League. So, you know, I'll watch baseball no matter what it is, and it's always a lot of fun. But briefly, let's make this brief. Do you agree with this format that everybody is crying about? Everybody is crying about. You know what? Statistic thrown out on Buster Olney's baseball podcast. Only 55% of the best teams – only 55% of the teams that ever had the best record won the World Series. It's baseball. It's baseball.
It really is, because baseball. Yeah, I couldn't have said it any better, Coach. I mean, right now we're looking at a 2-3-2 format, which is what we've seen, you know, for the championship series, but with a little bit of different swing with the higher seeds in the divisional series, getting home field advantage, and that really factored in the wild card series as well. They may tweak this down the line, but ultimately, you get into the playoffs, it's an entirely new season. You can win 110 games. Guess what? You got to win three in the first round. You got to win two out of three if you're in the wild card. You got to win three to get to the championship series, where ultimately, you got to take four, best of seven, to get to the dance. You got to get in. It doesn't matter how you get in. Anything can happen. Philadelphia proved that last year with 85 wins and the lowest seed.
Hey, you know, you got to be consistent. You got that week off to get a little, little relaxation, you know, get the injuries healed up. But you got to stay consistent. You got to keep yourself going. And, you know, the Braves tried it. The Braves tried it with, scrimmage games and everything else. But you know what? When the lights went on, the Braves weren't ready. I mean, their hitting was atrocious. I mean, here's a team that led the major leagues in scoring over 900 runs and hitting 307 home runs. And they couldn't do anything as soon as they started playing.
Yeah, they really did. I mean, they struggled mightily. And, I mean, they were handled. I mean, hey, there was that great comeback win. I know we talked about it a little bit. Michael Harris with the great catch after the big Austin Riley bomb. But ultimately, Philly has been one of the hottest teams in baseball over the last 3 weeks, going back to the end of the regular season, had easily locked up that first wild card spot. bottom line, they just had too much firepower. You can line up your rotation any way you want, but you run against a hot team, you're going to get beat. And really, the big crux for the Braves, that just absolutely spelled the end of the season, could not convert with runners in scoring position, something they had dominated all season. I know we'll break it down in the next segment here. That's ultimately what put them to bed and sent Philly on to the championship series.
But they dominated with the long ball during the regular season. They didn't dominate with the short ball, the short game. And that was the problem with the Braves. They couldn't come up with the big timely single or double. Everything was home runs. Hey, that's the way the game's played. You know, your best hitters in baseball fail 7 out of 10 times. So, you know what? It's the way the game's been played. The person who makes
that is correct.
The most errors, doesn't get the most hits, loses. Okay. So I like the format. I like the extra teams in there. It's a lot.
I'm fine with it.
I mean, it's great. It's great. And it gives the small market team a chance to dream. To dream that they're going to get in it. So, you know, the Yankees spending billions of dollars and everybody else spend the Dodgers. It gives that small team a dream to get in there, like the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Yeah, you get in there, anything can happen. That is a scrappy ball club right there that took down the Dodgers in 3 games. I still can't believe it. And wife and her family are reeling a little bit on it. And several times I was told, just turn it off. We're done. But yeah, here we are.
Let's blame the manager who doesn't go out and play, too. That's another story for another day. All right. Ooh. Let's step up. We're playing 3 innings. We're going division championships. We're going to break them down. Then we're going to go to Braves Outlook for 2024. And then, of course, we play our fun game, baseball trivia, at the end in the 3rd inning. All right. Inning number 1. Let's go around the horn. Let's start off with the division championships. We always start in the, of course, the junior circuit. So Texas and Houston, they're already into their 2nd game, buddy.
Yeah, in the championship series there, but look at where they had to go to get there. Houston took on a scrappy Minnesota team that found a way to win a division that nobody seemed to want to win. Houston takes them down 3-1. Meanwhile, you got the best team in the entire American League, the Baltimore Orioles, who are really a fun story coming into the playoffs and throughout the season. The power of the Texas lineup, these guys just got hot at the right time, swept them comfortably, and you got an all Lone Star State battle. And Houston is already down 1-0 as of last night. Big game last night. Nathan Eovaldi going out there and taking it to Justin Verlander and the rest of the Houston Astros. That was an ultimate pitcher's duel, a couple of key hits. Before you know it, Texas has serve, and they're up against it tonight. And Houston is currently behind the 8-ball with a chance to go down 2-0 in this series if the Rangers can hold on tonight in Arlington.
Well, as this is going on, I'm going to give you a score update. Alvarez just hit a bomb. It's 5-4 in the bottom of the 8th now. Texas.
Okay.
He hit it off of Chapman, ex-Yankee. still trying ex-Cub. To find out. Ex-Cub, ex-Yankee. So, it was Verlander against Montgomery last night. Eovaldi went today. Did you say Eovaldi or did you say Montgomery?
No, Eovaldi went today. Excuse me. Jordan Montgomery, who got picked up from the St. Louis Cardinals during their fire sale, dominated. I mean, he went 6 1/3. He strikes out 6, only gives up that 1. The bullpen closes it up. LeClaire comes in. Big bomb from Taveras. Jordan Heim gets an RBI. And what set up the Heim RBI that ultimately put the game to bed was a big hit from young Evan Carter. That was huge. Justin Verlander takes the loss despite going out with a quality start. He said, I've been here before. We got to get ready and move on to game 2. What can you do? That was a well-pitched ball game with a couple of key hits for the Rangers.
Yep, sure was. Okay, quickly, I'm going to throw this out at you now. We're going to talk about strengths and weaknesses. Okay, what is Houston's strengths in this, even though they might be down 2-0 versus the Rangers' strengths?
Well, I mean, I would say it's going to be Houston is really needing to find a way to close it down with their pitching. They need their guys, like their middle of the lineup guys. You need Alex Bregman, you need Yordan Alvarez, and you need Michael Brantley, who have started the postseason strong, to stay strong. I really think the pitching goes in favor of Texas. So the bats need to do the job for the Houston Astros, because really we didn't even have probables right now for game 3. It's possible you could throw Christian Javier out there to start game 3 for Houston, but you've got Framber Valdez, who's taken a little bit of a beating after giving up four in the first inning tonight. And of course, you know what happened with Justin Verlander right there. So your 3, 4, and 5 guys have to be key if you're the Houston Astros. Now, for the Rangers, I think there's more thump in that lineup, which is why I think ultimately they're going to win this. They're going to win this series and head back to the World Series for the first time since, well, let's see here. What, 2012? Yeah, 2011. Excuse me.
It's been a long time. All right.
Yeah.
Last question, and then we'll get to the other side. So we say to our 30-minute time limit here. Okay, Matt Scherzer, you think he's going to come back? You think he's going to throw?
He's ready to go for Game 3. They're going to. They've already announced him. He's got it. They announced it a little bit earlier today. And this guy, I mean, chomping at the bit. You look at Mad Max with the crazy eyes. He's ready to go. Hasn't pitched since, was it August or September? It's been a minute. But he's ready to go. And obviously, he had the vote of confidence from his manager to say, hey, I'm ready to go. Obviously, he was a big addition after starting the year with the Mets. He will be going Game 3 for sure. I have no doubt whatsoever.
Yeah, you know, him and Verlander got out of Shea State. Oh, sorry, City Field, Shea Stadium. I'm giving away my age here. Okay.
So it happens.
But, all right, quickly. I know it might be a 2-0 Texas lead here. Your prediction, what do you think? Because we were going to try and do this yesterday, but we didn't. So what would have been your prediction yesterday?
Yeah, honestly, I'm gonna stick with my pick. I still think the firepower in the Rangers lineup is too much. I think Houston finds a way to take one of the games in Houston, but I think it's a 5-game series, and I think Texas takes the flag.
Well, I got to be opposite. Yeah, I was going with Houston because of their playoff experience. Like you said, Texas hasn't been here in a long time. I was, you know, they will be the first team to go back-to-back since who?
Back-to-back to win the series.
Back-to-back to win if they, you know, I'm just saying – I want them to win a series, but they could be the first team to go back-to-back winning World Series since what team?
Oh, man. Who's left? Oh, jeez.
Trivia question last time. I messed up. I gave you credit for it. The trivia question last week. 98, Coach, 99, 2000.
Oh, the Yankees. Come on.
Right. So they'll be the
That's
first
what I
time.
Thought. I thought I was like, I was overthinking that. All right. Continue.
Since 23 years ago. Okay. All right.
That's
so let's
right.
go to the senior circuit. You got the Red Hot Phillies again. They did the same thing last year. They're doing the same thing this year. And then you got the young pups, the Arizona Diamondbacks coming in. I mean,
wow.
This is something funny. The Phillies, the Rangers, and the Houston Astros all had the same identical records from during the season, 90 and 72. The Diamondbacks come in with an 84 and 78 record, but they're hot.
They are. They're incredibly hot. They're a young, hungry team. You've got a guy that is incredibly exciting to watch in Corbin Carroll. Let me just give you a couple of his playoff stats here, just real quick. He's hitting .412. He's already got 2 bombs. His ops is out of this world, 1.389. He is easily, and I've said this for months, he's going to win the NL Rookie of the Year without a doubt. And you've got 2 nasty young pitchers in Zach Gallen, and you got Merrill Kelly. Not a bad 1-2 at the top of that rotation.
All right. Now, the strengths of the Diamondbacks, okay, if you ask me, is when they get on base, they're going to steal bases.
They're going to run all day.
Which the Philadelphia Phillies did to the Braves. They ran all day.
They did. And, I mean, I love the bringing the running game back into baseball. You've seen it so much this year. But, I mean, you cannot let – Arizona take liberties if you're the Philadelphia Phillies. They're going to run all day because that's the way they take out the boppers in the middle of that lineup for Philadelphia.
Well, we're going to see what happens. So I think that's the strength. Like you said, Corbin Carroll's been amazing. Gallen and Kelly are the top pitchers. But the weakness is, I think, for the Diamondbacks is they're not a power-hitting team, are they?
They're really not. They manufacture a lot of runs. Yeah, Carroll can give you some power, and then but ultimately you've got some guys that are. It's a strong hitting lineup, but it's not going to wow you the way the Philadelphia lineups, you know, with the lineup does with the likes of, you know, Castellanos, obviously Bryce Harper, duh, and you know you got Kyle Schwarber out there, Alec Bohm. You got guys up and down that lineup with a lot of thump. So it's base to base guys, guys that are going to try to manufacture runs for Arizona versus the boppers with the, on the Philadelphia Phillies.
And the Diamondbacks know how to come back when they're in a deficit too.
That is correct. Yikes.
All right. Let's talk about the Phillies. Okay. Once again, hot at the end of the season. They take care of the wild card around. They come in and they take care of the Braves. So what do you got to say the Phillies' strengths are, weaknesses are?
Well, keep the heater going right there. I mean, obviously, they got Zach Wheeler. He's going tonight, getting the start. And, of course, you got Aaron Nola. They're big 1-2. He'll be going, I believe that is going to be – yeah, I think that's tomorrow night, actually. Yeah, so they'll be getting it going there in Philadelphia. But the biggest thing for the Phillies is their power, as I mentioned before. They've got power up and down that lineup. I've already mentioned a few names. Also throw out JT Realmuto out there. Fun fact, back in the minor leagues, Rob Thompson, the manager for the Phillies, and Torrey Lovullo, they were minor league teammates. I actually remember seeing Torrey Lovullo when he was playing for the Buffalo Bisons back in the old International League.
Yeah, and you know, the Phillies bullpen, I've been impressed. The second half, I mean, they've been lights out. So,
yeah, Sir Anthony Dominguez. Yeah, a guy I remember when I heard his name a couple years ago. I'm like, that is the most interesting name I have heard in baseball in quite some time. He has been a complete lockdown guy. And the ageless wonder, the guy you thought was done, Craig Kimbrell, going out there closing games again.
I know.
It's crazy. I mean, I'm leaving with that. I mean, that's the end of the story.
Well, what do you think about Kyle Schwarber? I always mess his name up.
Well, Schwarbs, I love Schwarbs. I mean, obviously, you know, he came up as a Cub, thump up and down that lineup. Yeah. I mean, he's exactly what you think is going to happen.
They're not letting him play the outfield.
No, they're really not. I mean, in that situation, you're better off in the playoffs having him be in a DH situation. He's done that before. I'm not really terribly surprised by that. He did it with the Red Sox. Of course, he did it with the Phillies last year. And I mean, had the DH been around several years ago, I still think he'd be a Cub. But you know what? That it still bothers me, and I'm still a little bit bitter about that. But that's okay. Whenever I see him and Nick Castellanos hug each other, I'm like, you could be doing that in blue pinstripes, not red. But I can't do anything about that.
I'm gonna let it go. We can't control that. We don't work in the front office. So, all right, quickly. All right. So in the ALCS, I got Houston. You chose Texas. Okay. If we were going to do it last night. So I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to change it to Texas now. All right. It looks like they're going into the ninth inning and it's 5-4 Texas right now. So, all right. Phillies with the home crown advantage against the Diamondbacks. I'll go first. I'm going to take the Phillies. Playing in Philadelphia is crazy. They're the hottest team going right now. I love Arizona. I love the Young Bucks. And I mean, you know, you've been touting Corbin Carroll all season long.
I have.
But I just got to go with the Phillies in six.
Yo, I do too. I'm going to go with the exact same pick. The power, the streak they're on, it's Phillies in six, no doubt about it. The only reason I give it six is because of how strong Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly have been all year for Arizona. But there's too much power in that Philadelphia lineup. And yeah, playing at Citizens Bank Park with that Philly crowd, that's not a lot of fun.
No, it's not. It's crazy. And I can't believe, I'll make this quick because I know we got to keep on track here. I can't believe those Philly fanatics stand the whole game. This ain't college football. I can't believe they stand the whole game.
It's more important. It's the baseball playoffs. I love that. And honestly, I was having a good chat with my dad the other day. It's like, all right, why are we still watching? What is most fun to you? And I said, I'm not going to lie, I'm having fun watching Philly just with the whole circus that's going on over there. I'm looking for fun stories. I mean, that's why I'm enjoying watching the Rangers play too. And that's why I think those are going to be the teams that are going to meet up in the World Series. And hopefully we'll be talking about that next week.
Oh, here you go. Here's World Series. Phillies against Texas. Oh, I'm going to go with Phillies against the Astros. So we'll see what happens with that. All right. Hey. Rematch of last year. All right. Don't forget, this is brought to you by the Coach's Corner Sports Network. Coach's Corner. In the Soundgarden, you know, we say this every show. Coach's Corner, where it's all sports, all music, all fun, all food since
1991.
Okay, what's coming up in the Soundgarden? Saturday, October 21st, we got an evening with Jason and Jared. Great personalities. They get the crowd involved. You're going to love it. Then a lot Friday, of fun. October 27th, let's do a double feature. We got Departure, which is who?
Tribute to Journey, one of the best and around.
Back in Black.
And one of my all-time favorites, AC/DC, one of the Southeast preeminent AC/DC cover bands.
Okay, then we go to Friday, November 10th. Take out your lighter. Keep it going. Ask for a little Freebird. What do you got? Whose band is that?
That would be a little bit of Lynyrd Skynyrd, North Florida's finest.
The man knows his food. He knows his baseball. He knows his football, his hockey, his soccer. And he knows what's going on with tribute bands. I couldn't keep up with this kid. All right. And February, November 17th. That's my first error of the night. November 17th, Friday night, November 17th. Slippery when wet. So what do we got there, buddy?
Oh, we got a little Pride of New Jersey right there. We got a little Bon Jovi.
He's 4-for-4. I can't win. Hopefully I can win in trivia. So that's what's going on in the Soundgarden.
You probably will.
All right. We got to go to inning number two. We got the Braves. We got 5 minutes to do this, buddy. So, I don't know what to tell you. You know, of course, Alex Anthonopoulos, he's still evaluating. But, you know, the Braves went 3-for-18 with runners in scoring position against the Phillies. Went 3-for-18 while the Phillies went 7-for-32, but they still were lower than the Phillies. But you got Kevin Pillar is a free agent, and you got Eddie Rosario, who has a $9 million club option. What do you do, Mr. General Manager?
Well, I mean, honestly, you consider bringing back Rosario. I love Kevin Pillar for what he can do in the outfield. Eddie, I still think he's got some wheels on him. I think the big question is, Charlie Morton's going to be 40. There is an option there. Do you bring him back? And also, there are some good free agents out there on the market right now. I know Alex Anthopoulos has said, look, we're keeping this close to the vest right now. And honestly, I don't think we're going to know much until after the World Series. Then you got the general manager's meetings in November. Then you have the big winter meetings. That's when the real action will get started there. Alex Anthopoulos left us with this. Nobody has the exact formula. Why? Because playoff baseball, anything can happen. You can be the best team in baseball. And guess what? You come up against a team that's got a heater after your team has a long layoff right now. Big tough thing that I don't like, Kyle Wright, he's going to be out for 2024. That could open up for some homegrown talent that we've seen this year. You got Schuster and you got AJ Smith-Shawver. They're probably going to get some looks to add. But I think the big thing for the Braves, they're going to probably try to go out and add a big arm in the offseason. You don't really need to tinker with the lineup too much. You know how talented. It's almost a video game lineup 1-9 with the Braves. You want to bring back Eddie for $9 million? I say do it. Not so sure if Charlie would be ready to go. If you don't find a big option there and you want to stay in-house, fine, you could do it. It probably isn't going to cost you all that much. But the rotation piece is, I think, key. And you're pretty much going to go in with the same rotation that you have, 1-3. Hopefully you add something big. The playoffs are a crapshoot. And hopefully they can get after it next year. Not the way you want it in the season, but here we are.
Well, you said it. I mean, I know he's leaning towards maybe bringing back Charlie Morton. You know, but like you said, you got Smith-Shawver. The two other kids that I was impressed with during the layoff and when they really weren't playing for anything, Vines and Winans wasn't bad either for them. You know that.
Yeah, Vines and Winans, they came up from Gwinnett. I mean, homegrown guys. They're able to throw them in there, get them some quality innings right there. I think everything's on the table, and the fourth and fifth starting jobs are completely open. I mean, obviously, you're going to go out there next year with a healthy Max Fried, Spencer Strider, and Bryce Elder.
Yeah, like he pretty said, easy. And, you know, Alex said, he said, anything's on the table. They're going to look for top starting pitching, but you never know what's going to happen. Like you said, it's too early because you got all these meetings going on. The playoffs are still going on. So we're just going to wait and see it happen. So Braves fans.
Time to tweak.
Just take it easy. Yeah. Okay, let's see.
Take it easy. Tweak a little bit. You've got most of your young talent already locked up for the foreseeable future. You got money you can spend. But I don't think you need to really go crazy this offseason here. That team's going to be ready to rock and try to win the NL East next season.
All right, that's inning number two in the books. We just chopped on the Braves for next year. All right, buddy, trivia time. Okay, the coach 6 wins. The Baseball Fanatic 5 wins, and we got 3 ties. It's been close all year. After this, we only got 2 more rounds to go, buddy. So we'll see what happens. Woo! So Can the coach finally defeat the baseball fanatic? It's going to be tough. All right, so here we go.
I'm rooting for you.
You went first last week. It's my turn to go first this week.
Okay. All right. So, first question. Question number one. Can you name me the two pitchers with more than 200 strikeouts in the playoffs? And my one clue that I'm going to give you, they are active players that have taken part in this year's postseason.
Wow.
So think about a couple old war horses that have been to the playoffs many times.
You got to go with Kershaw, right?
Okay, there's one.
Okay, they've been there for a long time. Kershaw's one, so I got a 50-50 guess here.
Yeah, you got paid. House money right there.
Can I call a friend? No, I'm joking.
I am your friend. No, you can't call me.
I'm trying to think. You got to go with Verlander.
Oh, all right. You got that completely right. Clayton Kershaw and Justin Verlander. Very good. There were some other good guesses out there that I was expecting, but you nailed it. What you got for me?
All right. Now, you have to answer both correctly.
Okay. I got my pen.
So if you win the ALCS or the NLCS, you win the pennant of the American League and win the pennant of the National League. Okay.
That is correct.
All right. Which team has won the most league pennants throughout the course of baseball history, and how many did they win?
How many pennants? Well, let's see. That'd be the New York Yankees, and they've won 40.
Oh, you got to give me a break. You don't follow the Yankees. How did you know that?
I know how many they've won. How could you not?
Do you believe they only lost – they've won 27 World Series, and they had 40 pennants. They only lost 13 times. That's pretty impressive.
Those were during the war.
I don't know how many wild card years they lost, but we'll go from there. All right, so it's 1-1.
All right, I like that. Okay. Can you name me the only player this season that is active in the playoffs, or just in general, really, with 40 home runs, 100 RBIs, 100 runs scored, but with less than a 200 batting average?
Wow.
So think of a real thumper out there that gives you three outcomes.
40 home runs, 100 RBIs, and what was the other one?
100 runs scored, but here's the big one. He hit less than 200.
He hit less than 200.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to want it.
Who hit 40 home runs this year that's still playing, and on what team? I can't.
You didn't even have to give me the name, the team. Just give me the player.
I can't think of anybody in Arizona.
Okay.
Houston. Did they have a 40 home run hitter this year?
I think Alvarez was close. I'd have to go back and look.
Batted under 200.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah.
He was close to Mendoza line.
Oh, yeah. He was having lunch with it every day. Jeez.
I'll be honest with you. I got to go with Bryce Harper.
Ooh, okay. Right team, wrong player. Kyle Schwarber.
That was my other choice.
Okay. All right, I got a shot here.
All right. This could tie the series at 6-6 apiece.
I like it.
Okay. Who holds the record for most home runs in a postseason? One postseason. Who holds the record? We know Manny Ramirez has 27.
Yeah, okay, for a single postseason.
Single postseason.
Oh, man. All right, that's a good one. All right. Wolf. Reggie Jackson.
Just happened recently.
Oh, God.
I'm going to butcher his name. Randy
Arozarena. Yeah.
He had 10 in 2020.
Yes, he did. He went to town. I remember that vividly. Oh, my gosh. Okay, you got a chance to go home with this. What you got? Here's what I got.
You're asking me. I'm going first today.
I know. I said, what you got? Here's what I got. All right. I was trying to, cover up for that. All right. So my bonus question is, legendary Hall of Fame manager Bobby Cox played for what major league team? He only played two seasons in the show. Who did he play for?
Yankees, New York Yankees.
All right, 68 and 69. I knew I shouldn't ask you that last. Daggone it. With this, it's man.
We're going to kiss our sister this weekend, because if you get this wrong, I'm going to be really upset with you.
Okay. Go ahead.
Which person or which player was named the World Series MVP after leading his team to victory in a championship series in 2016?
Which player?
Which player was named the World Series MVP?
Oh, Chris Bryant. No. Ben Zobrist. Don't do this to me.
Since I'm a nice guy, I'll give you the tie, buddy.
Daggone it. I've got the freaking bobblehead over there. Oh.
You almost blew that one, big guy.
Oh, I'm just, I need to just go sit in the dark for a while. Okay.
I did that just for you so you wouldn't lose.
Oh, that's so nice of you. Yeah, because I have to buy you a new flag now. Okay.
Hey, you gave me a Yankee trivia. I gave you a Cub trivia. So that was fair deal today. And for the people who are listening, we don't discuss what theme we're going for, okay? Usually I take a theme of what's going on in baseball. He just picks it out of the air, and whatever comes up, comes up.
Yeah, I've tried to pick out more topical items lately, but guess what? You've been winning. So I've really had to go out on a limb, but that's why we do it, and that's why I love this, Coach.
6 wins for the Coach, 5 Woo! Wins for the Fanatic, and we got 4 ties now. So not
yikes.
An exciting season. Okay, so once again, our predictions are, I have the Phillies and the Astros. He has the Phillies and the Rangers. So we'll see what happens. We'll preview the World Series when that happens next week and we find out who's playing. But once again, say a prayer for everything that's going on in this world. That's why we do this. Take your mind off of this tonight for 31 minutes. Not bad there, Fanatic.
Not too shabby. Even with mentioning our sponsors, we still found a way to get it all in. And we got another ball game we got to watch, and I got to figure out what we're going to eat for dinner.
All right, let me just give you this quick, because I know you're biting at the bit. I don't know if you got it on TV yet. What's going on right now? We're in the bottom of the ninth, 5-4 Rangers.
And yikes.
We got, I can't see the guy's name. Who's the Rangers' top reliever?
Was it LeClaire?
LeClaire is in.
Yeah, LeClaire is in. He locked it down last night.
So we'll see what happens. Okay, once again, whatever you're doing today, tonight, buddy, or tomorrow.
Always hit it out of the park, Coach.
And until we talk to everybody next week, what may it be for them?
Their best week ever.
So we're playing ball on the Who's on First Base Baseball Podcast, sponsored by Coach's Corner. Hey, gotta love it. Talk to you later. Have a good one. Go make some dinner.
Oh, you got it, Coach. You do the same. We'll see you next week.
I'll talk to you during the week, buddy.
See you, buddy. Goodbye.